Welcome to the Kona Edge, where you'll discover what the best triathletes in the world do to give them the edge.
You're listening to the Kona Edge. It's awesome to have you with us. Thank you so much for listening to and downloading this podcast. My name is Brad Brown. If it's the first time you're listening, welcome. It's the home of Ironman triathletes, the dream of qualifying and racing on the Big Island. It's awesome to have you with us today. And we've got a brilliant guest to share with you today as well. Going to be sharing her story a little bit later on. Robin Hardage joins us. But before we get into that, we've been working on a couple of things here at the Kona Edge that I think are going to help you. One of the things we've done is in chatting to all the age groupers that we chat to, we have sort of figured out some of the mistakes that people make on their Ironman swim in particular, and that's been one of the biggest pain points. And we've put together a little ebook called The Four Swim Killers, How to Fix Them, and Shave Minutes Off Your Swim Time. If you'd like to get your hands on that copy, on that little ebook, it's absolutely free. All you need to do is head over to this URL now, okay? It's thekonaedge.com/swimkillers. thekonaedge.com/swimkillers. One word, and you can download it there for free right now. So go check it out. The four most common swim killers, how to fix them, and in doing so, shave minutes off your swim time. But enough about me yakking. Let's get straight into today's show. Well, we head to Ottawa in Canada now, and it's a great pleasure to welcome our next guest onto the podcast, Robin Hardage. Robin, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for calling me.
Robin, I love chatting about this topic. I'm sure you do too. And there's just something special about triathlon. There's something special about Ironman, but there's something truly special about Kona. And as we record this, you're getting ready for another visit to the Big Island.
Yes, I am. This is number three. So hopefully I have learned my lessons and can head there with some confidence. Yeah.
Do you ever learn lessons? I mean, it's such a long way. I think, I mean, we've spoken about it quite often here on the podcast before, but it's pretty difficult to have a perfect race when it comes to Ironman because there are so many factors that go into it and so many things that can go right or wrong on the day.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think one of the best attributes is to be able to adapt to what's thrown your way during the day. I mean, no one will have a perfect day, and even if you come out on top, there's always lessons to learn, whether it's nutrition, dealing with the weather, mechanicals, just your mental game too. So just being adaptable is key.
I guess that's probably what keeps us coming back for more.
I think so, yeah. I mean, there's always room for improvement.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
let's take
I think we'd get...
Sorry, you were going to say?
We'd get bored of it, I think, if... we nailed it every time.
Yeah, exactly. There'd be no fun in that, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Let's take a step back, though, and look at your athletic endeavors sort of over your life. Have you always been pretty active?
Not really. I was a very spastic and uncoordinated skinny kid, you know, glasses and braces. My parents didn't really know what to do with me, but, you know, they threw me into hockey and soccer, and I ended up being a pretty good hockey player, so... I went on ice hockey, that is. I went on to play varsity at my university, and I guess athletic to a point, but never thought that I would kind of excel at this sport, this level.
Were you competitive playing hockey and soccer? I mean, was it just for fun, or did you hate losing?
Well, soccer was for fun. I mean, I was a kid out in the field looking at the flowers and the butterflies. But hockey is where I it took a couple years, but I embraced it. Yeah, and I played competitively. So
physical. I mean, ice hockey is not a walk in the park. It's not staring at flowers. From a physical perspective, I mean, pretty tough.
Yeah. I don't know. I just I enjoyed it, and just the team sports, and I did that up until I was about 24. So,
and let's be honest, it's a very Canadian thing to do. I've heard rumblings that Canadian kids are born with ice skates on their feet. It's one of those things.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I wasn't the greatest skater, so we built up on that. But yeah, I mean, I'm blessed to live in Ottawa. We have the Rideau Canal. It's the longest skateway in the world, and it's just something we do.
Do you still skate to today?
Yeah, I do. I skate. I don't play hockey anymore, but I do enjoy skating and the odd pickup game with the family. But I know that sounds very Canadian.
I love it. I love it. And the sort of interest in triathlon, where was that developed?
My last year at university, one of my fellow teammates said, "Hey, why don't you come do a try?" I had no idea. So I borrowed a bike, did the try, and thought, "Oh, this is kind of fun." And just kind of fell into place. I graduated university, stopped playing hockey, and took up running. And did some duathlons, and I don't know, I just fell in love with triathlon.
It's one thing falling in love with triathlon, and it's another thing falling in love with endurance triathlons and long-distance triathlons. That step up, I mean, you ask anybody in the world who runs and maybe does the odd fun run or the odd 10K, and you tell them you're a marathon runner and they think you're amazing, but now all of a sudden you're doing a sport, there's a marathon sort of bolt on the back end of it.
Yeah.
It's a huge mindset shift from doing the odd small sort of sprint try or Olympic try to making the step up to the longer stuff. Tell me about the thought process that got you to that point.
So I dabbled in all of the distances for about 5 years. I completed some duathlons. I did a half iron distance duathlon, if you'd want to call it that. But, I was always a runner. So I was doing marathons and I kept getting injured. And I was like, this isn't fun. So I turned 30 in 2011 and, I just said, you know, I'm going to do an ultra trail run or I'm going to sign up for an Ironman. And it just lucked in that I got a spot online for Lake Placid. And, I don't know. I don't know why I did it, why I decided to do it. I just felt that I had to do it and I didn't even know what it was, really. Like one of my coworkers had done it and, I said, oh, well, she did it. I could do it. So saved up my pennies and there you go.
And when you actually realized what you had got yourself in for?
A bit of panic. Yeah. I joined a triathlon club that did sort of, you know, the long spins on the weekend and I could handle the running by myself, but, just, I had no idea about swimming, about biking. I had nothing. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it was a bit of a coin toss between the ultra sort of trail run and Ironman. Have you ended up doing an ultra trail or is it just stuck with Ironman?
No, it just stuck with Ironman. Yep.
Any ambitions to go and do that trail at some stage?
You know, not anymore. No, I'm enjoying the cycling. I love the swimming. I just can't see running for 6 hours on end or, you know, those 24 hours. No, it doesn't interest me anymore.
Well, you're not making me feel any better. I've got a 65K ultra trail run coming up in December, which I'm petrified for. So I'll take one for the team.
Okay, yeah, deal.
When did you realize you were pretty good at this triathlon thing?
I guess in 2012, I kind of shifted my focus and learned about the sport and the distance and what you had to do to prepare for it. So I had raced Lake Placid in 2011, and then a friend of mine and I signed up for Florida in 2012, and I shaved nearly 2 hours off my time.
Wow.
So at that point, I had qualified for Kona. That was my first Kona qualifying race. And it took a while to sink in, but I was like, okay, I think I'm getting the hang of this. And I had the aptitude for it.
Talk to me about shaving 2 hours off the time. I mean, that's phenomenal. What did you do differently? I mean, obviously the courses are very different, but what did you do differently in the build-up?
Well, I did some research and kind of had a plan. I mean, my first Ironman, I just kind of showed up at the race. I didn't really know, like my bike wasn't fit to me. I had no idea about nutrition, any of that stuff. I was just there to be on the start line and hopefully finish. But for Florida, I learned a bit more. And I put more time on the bike and I trained smarter with the run and it was just, I guess, a combination of the consistency and training that really paid off. I was learning.
Sorry, did you go to Florida with the sort of idea of, you know what, I'm going to try and smash this thing and qualify for Kona? Or was that just a byproduct of the hard work and the great results you got in Florida?
Yeah, definitely a byproduct. I didn't really know what qualifying meant. So at the end, my friends and family who were there told me I won my age group. You know, I didn't know what it meant. And then it's like, oh, you can go to Hawaii. And I was like, oh, okay. I've seen it on TV. Like I wasn't fully in the lifestyle yet. So it was all very new and very unknown to me. So.
You know that half of our audience are now shaking their head going, I cannot believe this, because some of them have been trying for years to qualify for Kona, and you fell into it by accident almost.
Yeah, and I don't exactly, and that's like, I feel bad saying that, and I do not take it for granted. But, you know, I'm in a way, I work hard, but I sort of have some genetics as well. Like I think I'm blessed to have sort of the athletic genes, although it didn't appear till later, and then just amazing support. And yeah, it just happened. It wasn't my goal.
What do your parents think of that geeky kid who used to stare at flowers on the soccer field is now racing in the world championships?
Yeah, my family is very proud. I think my dad shakes his head sometimes thinking of the dorky kid I was and couldn't hit a ball or ball with a bat if my life depended on it. But, yeah, somehow I found my niche.
That's incredible. Let's talk about the getting the balance right. I think that's something mm-hmm. a lot of age groupers struggle with, particularly when you have family. You've got a job. It's quite difficult. You work for a living. You're not a professional athlete, so I'm taking it. How do you get that balance up?
You know, like everyone, I'm still learning to make that balance. Because now, more than earlier days, I put a lot of pressure on myself to sort of keep achieving. So I do make mistakes, and I will kind of forego going to a social event or a family event, and you know, is it worth it? I don't know. So I'm still learning to sort of say, okay, well, I could miss that workout or not spend as much time on the weekend doing training and spend more time with the family. So it is, again, I'm still learning, and you know, I've been doing this for 5 years. So
I won't tell anyone, but have you fallen asleep at work?
I've been very close.
I love it. As far as you mentioned genetics, and obviously you're blessed on that point of view. Yeah. Not all of us are, unfortunately. Do you think genetics plays a massive role, or can you outwork sort of good genetics, if you know what I'm saying? I mean, if you put in the hard work, is it possible even if you aren't blessed with the best genetics?
Yeah, you know, I think so. Because again, part of my success has come from just wanting it. I work hard. I want the results. And I want to be proud of myself. So despite being sort of naturally gifted, I still have to work. And I think that's the story for anyone in this sport. You know, when you're racing, it's mental as well. Just pushing through pain and the suffering or weather or whatever happens to you, and in training as well. I mean, those long bike rides, like you're out on a Sunday for 6-7 hours riding your bike. So, you need the mental strength to push through that stuff. So I think that is more key over kind of being whatever genetically blessed.
Robin, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that is something. And I think anybody who's done multiple Ironmans, like once you start getting probably like 4, 5, 6, maybe beyond that, you get to a point where, not that you've burnt out, but you almost lack that motivation. You talk about those long, lonely cycles in training, and you mentioned the hunger of you still want this. How do you keep yourself mentally fresh? Because it's tough. It's not easy. I'm not sure if you've been through one of those. If you haven't, I hate to break the news to you, it's coming, but, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, I've definitely experienced the lows of the sport, sort of, you know, almost in tears that I don't want to go riding, or I really don't want to run the run, or just, you know, I don't want to get up anymore to go to the pool for 6 a.m. I'm still learning, cause I still consider myself new to this sport, and, it's just taking a step back, kind of reassessing why you're doing it, what you get out of it, and just kind of looking at the positives versus the cons of your sport. And if it means taking, you know, a week off, then take the week off. But yeah, I mean, burnout is huge in our sport.
Yeah, it is, without a doubt. I mean, what do you do to switch off? I mean, sometimes you do, and also with it being a sport the way it is, where it's these three really big disciplines. I mean, if they were standalones, they would be pretty tough on their own. But it's almost all-consuming that you're just always thinking about it. Even when you're not training, you're thinking about it. It's hard. How do you switch off?
I usually have to turn to my better half or my family to sort of put things in perspective for me. I'm not good at doing that alone because, you know, even when I'm sitting at my desk at work, I'm like, okay, what's my training for today? What am I doing on the weekend? What did I do last year versus this year? Like, oh, you know, looking at the race website, it's all consuming. So getting someone from outside of your bubble to sort of say, hey, Robin, you know, let's take a step back. Let's go do something normal.
Normal.
Yeah.
What's Robin, what's normal?
Yeah, it's sort of, you know, taking the dog to the dog park or going up to the cottage, just stuff like that. Just, yeah.
I love it.
Having a beer. Yeah.
Gee, yeah. That would be nice. Let's talk about Kona itself. And you almost fell into that first one. You've been back subsequently. Mm-hmm. There's another trip on the near horizon. Obviously, your thinking and your knowledge and the research you've done about the Big Island has changed. What is, if I say the word Kona to you, what do you think?
I don't know. I get this picture in my head of the pier. It gives me goosebumps. I just think I've worked so hard and that's sort of the reward. But at the same time, I'm not going to just go there and just race because I can. I want to do my best for the day. It's hard to explain into words what, when someone says that to me, I don't know. It's just this feeling I get. It's excitement. It's nervousness. I'm anxious. You don't know what to expect. It's different every time.
And it's one of those things that, I mean, you can't explain to somebody until they've raced there. They won't know that until they've done it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, that finish line along Elite Drive, it's just, it's out of this world. That I will never be able to share with someone unless they've done it. It's the year's work, your year's worth of work, and you're just, it's incredible.
I almost get the sense from you, Robin, that the deeper you get into it, the more special it's become. I mean, often people, their first Ironman for them is this incredible high, and they're almost chasing other Ironman to recreate that feeling. But I get the sense with you, it hasn't been like that. Like the first one was almost like, hey, that was cool. But now the deeper you've got into things, the more it's becoming sort of a bigger thing. It's quite strange. You're the first person I've spoken to that I get that sense from.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's not surface. It's, you know, it's not just a race for me. Like, I discover parts of myself, training, racing. I discover my family, the support, the belief they have in me. It's not just a sport to me. I don't want to say it's a lifestyle, but it's part of who I am. I identify myself with this, and it may sound silly, but it's this chapter of my life that is, yeah, I don't know. It's emotional, I guess. I mean, and I do miss my first Ironman experience. I miss how everything was so new to me and I had no idea what I was doing. And, but yeah, I'll never recreate it. In a way, I don't want to. I mean, every finish line, every race, every journey to every race is different.
What's the biggest lesson Ironman's taught you?
I guess just, you know, belief in myself. To believe in myself and what I can make my body do. And in a way, it's kind of like when you're in a race, you sort of see everyone differently. I don't know if it's going to sound really corny, but it's like you get to see humanity on a different plane. Like everyone is pushing themselves and their supporters are there. And there's just so much positivity that it blows my mind every time.
And that, for me, I mean, I agree with you. And that's the cool thing, too. It's not just at the front end of the field. It's for everyone. I mean, everyone's had to overcome something to get there. And not just to Kona, but to any Ironman. And to finish that race, you're a winner. It doesn't matter if you finish in 8 hours or if you finish in 17 hours, you're a winner.
Yeah. It's the same finish line and everyone's been on a journey. And, So it's just kind of taught me that, yeah, you can do whatever you put your mind to.
What are you really struggling with right now?
Right now? It's a self-confidence thing. I'm injured, so my strength was running, but I've had to sort of switch the focus to becoming a biker and just sort of holding on for the run. I feel like a dude.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
What's frustrating about that for you? Is it that the run gave you tons of confidence, and now that it's not where it normally is, you're struggling to wrap your head around that?
Yeah, it is. Because I'm sort of a mid-pack swimmer, a mid-pack biker, and then on the run, I could really kind of reel people in, and I always felt good on the run. But I have a hip injury that's been sort of plaguing me for the past year, so I've had to reel in the running. But yeah, it's just that your strength is gone. So it's like, oh, what can I rely on? Well, you have to rely on your strength in all three now across the board.
Have you seen the other two improve since this cropped up?
Definitely the biking has improved. I mean, swimming, I'm just not a swimmer. So, you know, 1 minute gains are like, well, I got a gold medal, but yeah.
Aren't you glad the swim's not last?
Yes, I wouldn't make it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd bail off to the bike. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. Robin, then, as far as goals and what you still want to achieve in the sport, you said it, Ironman at the moment, it's this chapter in your life. I mean, how many of these things do you think you've got in you? How is it a case of you want to be doing this till you old and gray, or is it this is cool for now and we'll cross the bridge when we've had enough of it?
Yeah, definitely the latter. I mean, I'll do it until, you know, it's not fun anymore. And then I can see sort of doing one every couple of years. Yeah, definitely. I don't know. We'll see what comes up next, and I'll ride this wave until I can't. And yeah.
Do a new one every time you hit a new age group.
Sorry?
You hit a new one, or do a new one every time you hit a new age group.
Yeah, that could be an idea.
35, 40, 45.
Yeah, that's an idea. Yeah.
From a bucket list race perspective, I mean, you've obviously got to go to the big dance. What are some of the other big sort of triathlons around the world that you'd like to go to?
I definitely like to go to Europe. I mean, that circuit is pretty cool. Doesn't matter where. Just explore new places, and, meet new people, and from what I've seen, a lot of the races, the courses look beautiful, so why not give it a go?
The best, in your opinion, the best race in North America?
You know, it's tough. I don't want to be biased, but I definitely think it's Ironman Mont Tremblant. That place just puts on a great show. It's the organizers, the volunteers, the venue is just out of this world.
For those who don't know much about it, tell us a little bit about the course. Is it a toughie? Is it fairly flat? Is it fast?
It's hilly with some flat. It's a ski resort. So in the winter, so it's the kind of headquarters is at the bottom of the ski hill in a little village. What they've done in the area is they're making a permanent Ironman course. So all year round, well, in the summer, I guess, there will be a designated bike lane, for cyclists who want to come up and train. The run course is always there, and, the swim course, there's sort of a little hut on the beach that people training for the race can use for shelter, put their bags and swim out of. They've just done a spot on job.
Wow, that sounds incredible. You talk about in the summer. Yeah. That's one of the challenges as a Canadian you need to deal with. You have brutal winters. How do you deal with that?
We have a basement with a treadmill and two bikes, and we put on YouTube or Netflix, and there you go. It's not fun, but you got to do what you got to do.
Do you find that doing that indoor stuff makes you mentally tougher?
Definitely. I spend a max of 3 hours on the trainer. That's my cutoff. From not being on it, so say outdoor cycling season comes and then it's raining, so you have to go on the trainer. An hour on the trainer feels like 5 hours. It's crazy how much your mental threshold decreases. But by the end of the winter, like 3 hours is nothing. It flies by. But yeah, you have to build up, definitely.
as far as the goals for Kona 2016, I don't want to put you on the spot, but what are you going there with? What are the sort of aspirations?
I've talked about this sort of with my coach, and you know, I want to have a good, healthy race. Last year, I couldn't eat; my stomach sort of turned on me. So I just want to finish this race healthy and be happy. So if that means a top 10, then woohoo. But I don't know. I have not really set goals, and I think I'm more relaxed this year.
Takes a bit of pressure off.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
What have you changed in the build up to this one to the last one?
I think just the pressure I've taken off myself has made a huge difference. Last year, you know, I really thought that I could do a top five. So I was uptight. I was obsessed with training, with the times, like with everything. And then, you know, I got there and I didn't enjoy it. Like my family was there too. And I just, it was just too much pressure. So this year I've changed that. And, yeah, I feel good about it.
Fantastic. Well, Robin, it's been great catching up. I look forward to getting you back on to talk about the individual disciplines. But thank you for sharing your story with us. And I really thoroughly enjoyed it. We look forward to catching up again soon.
All right. Great. Thanks, Brad.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.